worried about being wired up to that as wired up here. And 119 Psalms, probably the longest chapter in the Bible, because it's talking about the Word of God all the way through it. It could just go on and on, couldn't it? Begin with verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Well, I'm not preaching on that. But I tell you what we need to do, make sure our salvation lines up with the word of God. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that's not good enough. It's got to line up with his word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Because I seek thy precepts, I'll have liberty. I'll walk at liberty. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I believe it is, in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, the next verse says, and it'll make you free. And when you have his freedom, you are free indeed. I preached a sermon that's new to me, sort of. More like maybe a Wednesday night or Sunday night sermon, but I felt impressed. Part of me wanted to preach on the new birth. I've got dozens of sermons on the new birth, but somehow the Lord kept impressing this on me. What the psalmist is simply saying here, I'm going to walk at liberty because I'm seeking the precepts of God. And when you seek them and seek the precepts of God, you'll find them. I mean, you'll find the truth if you seek after it, because it's not hid. You'll find liberty, not searching for liberty, not longing for liberty. Just seek the precepts of God's word, and then you get liberty. But pursuing the word of God, I preached a funeral Tuesday, and I used Isaiah 61, and it was spoken 700 years before Jesus came into the world, and when Jesus went into the temple in Luke 4, he come back to Nazareth where he's brought up, it tells us in verse 16 of Luke 4, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. What do you think he read from? The Word of God. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written. I'm going to turn now to Isaiah 61 and tell you what he read from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the joy the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Paul, writing to the Galatians in Galatians 5, verse 1 said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Seeking the precepts of God, the Word of God, seeking the freedom He can give. Jesus went in John chapter 20 after He resurrection, and the disciples were in the upper room for fear of the Jews, and they had the door barred shut. If we're not careful, that's what we do. We hide inside our church houses when we need to get the gospel out there. Jesus came through those closed doors in His glorified body, and He spoke peace unto them. And said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." He breathed on them in that occasion. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, to seek the precepts, obey the precepts of God's Word. To obey is better than any kind of sacrifice. Scripture tells us. And that's what produces and protects and preserves spiritual liberty for a child of God. The reason why America's in a mess of this is because that's what we haven't done. That's what churches haven't done. Obeyed the Word of God. Just knowing it don't mean anything. Just knowing about it. But brother, when you begin to put in practice, you begin to apply the truth. You begin to apply it in your life. And the church begins to apply. We can quote and preach on 2 Chronicles 7:14 all we want to, but it don't mean anything until we're going to practice it. That's a recipe for a revival. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. You see that being done anywhere? On a large scale. So we don't get anything. You can know the recipe of a good cake, but until just knowing it isn't good enough, you can know how to plant a garden, but keep the seeds in the package and you'll never have a garden. We gotta know and practice the precepts of God. People in this day and age talk about liberty. I don't think most people would recognize liberty if they met it in the middle of the road. There's a crowd that makes a big issue out of spiritual liberty and Christian liberty in our day. We're free, you know. We're in this day of grace, so we're just free. And, of course, you know, where sin abounds, the grace of God does much more abound. And we make God out of a big old sponge that just follows around and sponges up after us. We've redefined God. And we don't know what liberty is either. Christian liberty, there's nothing Christian or Christ-like about their kind of liberty. I see something carnal, something worldly, and something sinful about it. Let me say, anytime somebody's saying, "We want liberty to live like we please, and we want liberty to change the church services like we please." Most music in most Baptist churches now is better for a dance than it would be to worship. Makes your old body wants to jump up and down, but it don't do much for your soul and spirit. They take liberty and turn it into loose living. It's either a misunderstanding of the truth or a purposeful misrepresentation of it. People that talk about Christian liberty are quite often talking about loose living. And brother, let me say this. God is not for this loose living stuff. The Bible talks about taking the grace of God and turning it into lasciviousness. using a grace for excuse for loose living. Well, that's sad and that's sinful. Amen. If you're not guilty, say amen. Or if you're guilty, say amen, because it's the truth. You'll help me. We get done a little quicker around here. Folks, that's not liberty, and I can prove it from the Word of God. The word liberty means to be unshackled. It means to be free. A criminal who's still at large is one who has not yet been apprehended and put in confinement. You know, he's able to move about even though he's guilty of a crime. We say he's at large, meaning he has freedom to move about. You understand what a criminal has to labor to achieve that kind of freedom. If you're not guilty of anything, you can walk around free and you can walk around in daylight and you're not, because you haven't committed crime. That's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth and it'll set you free." The truth is, He come to redeem us, and we don't have to walk around with any kind of guilt, because He went to Calvary for us. But we will not get forgiveness if we don't ask Him and confess to Him. I have what the criminal wants and wants freedom. Now, you know, they finally caught those two apiece. I don't have to try to be free if I'm pursuing the Word of God, trying to live in the Word of God. I'm free. I enjoy freedom. I enjoy freedom in the church. I enjoy the freedom not worry about trying to tiptoe through the Scripture afraid that I'll run somebody off. Let me say this. If the truth runs you off, you'll just have to be run off. But let me say this. If you think I'm going to bear the burden of not preaching the truth to you when it sets you free and it's what we need in our day and face God with it one day and the responsibility God's given me, I'm not going to let man dictate to me. If it is written, as the old preacher said, if it's written in the Word of God, it is right. And it'll always be right. Truth don't change, and therefore we shouldn't be changing all over the place. Amen, preacher. We're talking about liberty. According to the text, he said that you find liberty seeking the precepts of God, not seeking liberty. That means that things are not always as they appear. The broad way. Boy, it looks like I like that broad way because I got liberty just to do as I please. And I've been accused of being so narrow, being narrow-minded. When it comes to the truth of God, I am. I'm so narrow-minded that a gnat could sit here and kick both eyes out. If I ever need surgery, I want a narrow-minded surgery. I don't want somebody to open me up and say, "I don't know what that is, but I think I'll take it out." You know, the Bible declares that the broad road really isn't liberty after all. I'm referring to Matthew 7, Jesus, part of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's a broad way. Jesus knew that. And most people are going that route. And boy, if the crowd goes, it has to be right, doesn't it? The old flash don't want any restrictions put on it. I'll be honest with you. I don't want nobody to say no to my flash. I don't like it. But brother, let me say, if God says no to it, I better say amen, God. I better take notice. It's wide. There's not much restriction there on that wide. But wait a minute. You don't want to just find out how big the entrance is. You want to learn about where it goes to. Brother, it may be easily traveling, and it may be no restriction. You can find a church where there's no restriction on hardly anything. Do as you please. But you better read your Bible and find out where it's leading to. Oh, preacher. Yeah, I know, preacher. You don't want to just find out how big the entrance is. Look where it leads. I know we don't want to be unrestricted, or we don't want to be restricted. I'd rather be restricted and end up and have life everlasting as be deceived on the broad road. And I'm here to tell you, most Baptists that I see is on the broad road. Anything goes. Any kind of dress goes. They don't know what holiness means. If they knew, they wouldn't want it. Most Baptists that I know will be miserable in heaven. Amen. Because they don't get along with it much when little heaven comes down here. Boy, it's quiet in here. I think I could hear a mouse walking on cotton. Hey, liberty. We're talking about biblical liberty. You know what? The children of Israel was an example to us, and Paul reminded the Corinthians that the things happened to them was examples that we shouldn't lust like they did, and we shouldn't want to go back like they did, and we shouldn't love Egypt like they did, even after they was in bondage. They griped and complained. God took care of them. Would have fed them. Hey, I used to think that manna was the same old stuff. But man, they griped about. They wanted meat. He rained down quail, I guess. Good eating. They didn't get the quail out of the bin between their teeth. So they was lusting and complaining again. And God sent judgment on them. They wanted to go back. But don't be too hard on them, because they didn't have the Word of God and they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God that we have. You know, but the broad road leads to destruction. It looks like liberty because it's so wide, you know. No restriction. Don't it look like liberty? I mean, no restrictions. Nobody says no to anything. That's what the young generation wants now. And they're not by themselves. We older ones, same thing. We don't want nobody to say no to our old flesh. But God says no. He says no. That broad road don't sound like much liberty to me. Brother, let me say, if living that way and walking the broad road leads out to destruction, and he's not talking about that, this ends it all. Hell don't end it all. He said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction. He said, a whole bunch of folks are going there. It's appealing to the flesh. But he said, because the straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, that word life is not talking about mere existence. Somebody dies in sin without Jesus Christ, where do they go? They go to hell. Do they have an eternal conscious existence in hell? Yes. But God doesn't call it eternal life. It's eternal death. Eternal death. Eternal damnation. He calls it the second death. Eternal life has certain qualities of existence. The Bible says that the narrow way leads to life. Yes, there's some restrictions. And its entrance is narrow. But look where it leads to. But even the way of the transgressor is hard. I'm not saying you walk the broad road, everything's going to be hunky-dory with you. It's not. You're going to have a hard old life. If you don't see that in our society, you're not looking. But what the narrow life, it leads to liberty and life. Hey, I tell you what, every one of us better find out where we want to end up at. Because if you think you're going to end up living in any old way and going the broad road, you're going to end up in heaven. You're going to call Jesus a liar. You're not going to. Well, you think, we're not saved by works. No, but we're saved by faith that does work. Good grief. And I know, you can join the crowd if you want to, cause me a, what they call me? I'm a legalist. If you stand for any separation, you're a legalist, you know. They act like I'm preaching works for salvation, so I'm a legalist. No, I just believe the Word of God. But you're not going to like the destination if you end up in hell. But to, you may not like the restriction. Oh, that's old-fashioned. Yeah, truth happens to be old-fashioned too. The plan of salvation is old-fashioned. They haven't come up with any new ones. Truth don't change. And I tell you what, I like it. I even like the way of it. I like the comfort of it. I like what Jesus came to give us even besides salvation. There's a spiritual liberty promised to the people of God, but it's within the boundaries of the precepts of God. You don't have no liberty if you're not keeping the precepts of God the best you can. When you leave the precepts of God, you leave that liberty behind. You can't take it with you. You can't take liberty with you and live free and liberty free of, and leave the Word of God behind. These folks who want to call anybody that has standard legalist, I wonder if they ever read the Bible, ever open the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed." Would you like to be blessed indeed? Who's going to be blessed? The person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. He's not talking about grace now. Grace, we're saved by grace, but the same grace that saves us teaches us some things. I read where it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live sober, live godly, don't you? In Titus. He's talking about the law. Where there's no law, there's no liberty. I'm glad they got a few laws on the highways, aren't you? I'm glad they don't have a law where you can drive on either side you want to. I wouldn't feel liberty getting out there on it. Would you? Man, we get about that close to death every time we get on the road. Where there's no law, there's no liberty. There's no protection. The Bible is a perfect law of a perfect God. It produces perfect liberty when it's followed. And he said that I've got to look into the perfect law of liberty and do what? Abide in it. Continue in it day after day after day. Not, you know, a lot of people come to altar and pray a prayer and get saved and go the same old way. I don't know where to salvation or not. Don't look like it to me. He's talking about practicing something. Obeying it. You know, these people that committed murder, and they're behind bars, hopefully all of them are, didn't they know when they committed it that murder was against the law? You think any of them did thought that murder's okay? No, I think they all knew. Maybe they thought they'd get by with it. But they didn't stay within the confines of the law. They didn't continue in the law. They got out of bounds. You get out of bounds, you get penalized. In James 2:12 it said, "So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." It's not the grace of liberty we're talking about. We're talking about the law of liberty. Oh, you said, "I thought we don't live under the law anymore." Well, part of the law we don't live under. But America, the religious America, don't think we live under any laws, hardly. Let's look at that. Do you see the two words that are joined together? It's not an accident. Law and liberty go together. So he talks about the law of liberty. They that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Judgment speaks of accountability. And accountability is always built on responsibility. A person is responsible for something they're accountable for. And responsibility is built on the system of principles of God. We have a responsibility after we get saved. Amen? God didn't save us just to keep us out of heaven. He saved us. We become a part of the body of Christ. I don't seem like getting anything across, especially the younger generation. They follow the Lord and believe in the baptism, become a part of the body, and they think they can get out there and do as they please, and it don't hurt the body. I can tell you, your big toe gets sore, it'll hurt all your body. If you want to see a big toe causing problems, ask me to take my shoe off, but I don't think you want me to. You know, if you listen to some folks talk about liberty in our day, you'd think there was no accountability. There's no standard. There's no right. And there's no wrong. I know this may be a little boring, but it's the truth, and you better listen to it. But there is responsibility, and there is accountability. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, grace didn't eliminate holiness. You think being saved by grace, we can just do it where grace abounds, or sin abounds, or grace from God does much more abound. Yes, God will forgive any sin, but he'll say, go and sin no more. Grace makes it possible. It didn't eliminate holiness. Grace makes it possible. If you want to, you can live a holy life. And grace makes it possible. Grace teaches us to look for His coming. Teaches us that living godly is, we're going to be judged. We'll stand before Him at the judgment seat and give account of even every idle word. And there's not going to be any picnic. That's the grace of God that teaches us. How could a person live at liberty, even if they are saved, and they somehow the devil's got them believing they can just live any old way and they're going to go to heaven anyway. Some Baptists even heard them say that you're going to go to heaven where you want to or not if you That's a bunch of hogwash. Man, I guarantee if you don't want to go, you won't be in the number. You mean a born-again person that identifies with His Spirit, you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Romans 8. There's part of me that longs for heaven. Longs for heaven. And that part of me will feel at home in heaven when we sing Amazing Grace or Since Jesus Come into My Heart. Let me say this, and I enjoy it here. You don't have to get the music going where the feet wants to jump up and down and all that. I don't know if that did something for them, but most of the time you can tell it hasn't done anything for their holiness. You can mark this off. The old man's getting kind of old and senile. I guess that's why he preaches like if you want to. Brother Parker, we're not under the law. Okay. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He ended the priesthood of Aaron. And so He ended the ceremonial law. There's no need for animal sacrifice. No one bought an animal, did you, this morning? So He shed His blood on the altar. No need for a lamb to be brought to the altar. You know why? Because the real lamb came. Look at Him, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's came." We don't have to shed the blood of an innocent lamb looking forward. He's came. The real one came. He died and was buried, rose again, took His blood up into heaven, applied it to the mercy seat, made atonement for my soul forever. That ended the priesthood of Aaron and the law of animal sacrifice. However, there's a moral law that's still intact today, and we need to realize that. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not. It's still intact. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Still intact. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Still intact. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Still intact. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. It's still intact. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in name. And I could go on and on. All these are still intact because of the moral laws of God. And they don't change. Don't be so guilty to say, well, that's in the Old Testament. If it's a moral law in the Old Testament, it still exists. Tell you the truth about it, the law never was the plan of salvation. Nobody ever got saved by the law, even in the Old Testament. In any age, it was always our schoolmaster to bring us, to tell us how, and show us how much sinners we are. But I want you to know and understand, if you don't have law, you don't have liberty. You got people in churches that committing adultery, they ain't got no liberty. They can't tell. You know what they need to do? They need to quit it. They need to hit an altar and get it right. They ain't got liberty. If they got liberty, they're not born again. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to let somebody have liberty and not live right. Amen, preacher. The Bible speaks of the law of liberty. This liberty is a product of the law. Those who talk about liberty in our day are described in 2 Peter. I think I'm going to get done here in time. I have never found out what time that needs to be, but Peter says in 2 Peter 2:19, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same is he bound in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog has turned to its own vomit. Again, in the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And who are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the people who say, come as you are and leave as you came. Hey, let me say this. I hope in this church that somebody living out of the will of God completely can come and go away feeling good without getting anything right. Because, brother, something is wrong with them kind of churches. If there's ever time we need, the old mourner bench need to be used and people get, cry out to God for forgiveness and cleansing, it's the day. The fear of God. Oh, how we need God fearing. And the conviction of God. And the preaching of holy standards. As I said earlier, the music they use suited better for dancing than worshiping. Well, nobody wants that old-time stuff, preacher, anymore. Well, I do. I do. And there's a few people that really wants the real thing. They do. Amen. Hey, some of you won't even say amen while I'm preaching like that. What in the world's wrong with you? What do you want? Huh? You want Yankee Doodle style? Would you say amen if I say anything goes? Be on one side or the other. And we get, boy, I tell you what, born again people have got a little gumption in them, a little fire in them. They got the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, we're so dignified. Well, preacher, that's old fashioned. Yeah. I wish a lot of other things were old-fashioned in our day. You're not concerned about how this country is going after the last few days. Brother, you got problems. There's some of us don't view church as a social club. We view church as a place where God comes down and speaks to our heart. And God feeds our soul, not tickle our flesh. Church is a place where we get fed and strengthened, that we go out from the church and be effective for Him, not add to the problem. If you're not part of the cure, you're part of the problem. I know it seems a little hard. You'll never find it in a church where they throw every standard out of the window and promise them liberty by way of loose living. He said that the same people that promise them liberty are themselves servants of corruption. That's why you can go to town. You can see nothing to see a pastor in town wearing their shorts. Well, yeah, and the wife wearing her tight jeans, showing every print in her body. If that offends you, me saying that, it will just have to offend you. It's no wonder they close down on Sunday night. I'm wondering how long they stay open on Sunday morning, except they're going to have to get something to entertain the world. Amen, preacher. Or old me. Oh, me. Man, it used to be with amen. It wasn't years ago. Years ago when we started this church. This church didn't start out with this kind of deadness. Hey, let's lay out the sin edge. It's coming in and we're welcoming. And God's, He's knocking on the door wanting in. We're not going to let Him in because we're afraid that He's liable to rebuke us and say, you need to repent. I went to my reunion yesterday. And it's so inspiring. About the whole home church. Oh, me. They did the wrong thing to give me a couple minutes. If you're in bondage, are you free? Some of us are in bondage because we can't hardly open our mouth. It wouldn't be, and I don't want anybody to show off, but boy, if you got some convictions coming out of you, man, it ought to get a hold of you. little bit. I was outnumbered probably 100 to 1. But man, I tell you what, I'm not going to face God. They gave me a chance to welcome them there and welcome the old-fashioned ways a little bit. Hey, I couldn't imagine having a reunion and my dad and mom coming back after my dad passed away in 1953 or 52, I think, and mom in 65, and see what's going on in the family now. You want to know what the problem is? That's it. That's it. And you know what the next problem is? We compromise with it. That is what we compromise all the place. We won't take a stand with our own families. You can face God with it if you want to, but I'm not going to face God with not telling you the truth. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'd be your enemy if I didn't. Well, glory. Some people say liberty is a departure from the precepts of God. If we can just get the Bible thrown out and we can get anything godly thrown out, because we don't want no authority in our lives because we want to do as we please. That's what our society, and that's what they're starting to worsen all the way down. But what they don't know is they're not going to do away with truth. And they're not going to do away with the precepts. And those who are saying that thing are servants in bondage to corruption. They're not free. They're trying to give you what they don't have. True holiness is not legalism. I'm so tired of hearing good people, really, with a question mark, trying to justify not having time to serve God. Not having time. I'm so sick and tired of that. Wouldn't it be awful if he didn't have time to go to Calvary? Oh my. What kind of God we got that we don't have time? What time of God we got we won't put first place in our life? What? And then we wonder why things are so dead in our life. I'm tired of hearing people making excuses and justifying. Oh, what's so bad about this? And what's so bad about that? Where do you find that in the Bible? Oh, is it? Maybe I misread it. Be you not so bad, for I am not so bad. I thought the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 2, be you holy, for I am holy. He talks about the law of liberty. No law, no liberty. And our liberty is going. Because the law is going. Anything goes except Christianity in our day and in the politic world. True old-fashioned Christianity, we got to get rid of it. Amen. But when you break the law, you don't destroy the law. You destroy your own liberty. Do we live in a free country? Yes, to some extent. I'm frustrated about a lot of things, but we still have a free country. Well, why do we still have people going to jail? Why is the prison full, you guys? Because they broke the law. They lost their liberty. You know why Christianity, or so-called, and is bound? Is because we're breaking God's law and we're living in bondage. We can't open our mouths and witness because we're in bondage. Brother, you get freedom, and you get freedom in Christ, and your tongue will not only talk about the world, it'll talk more about the things of God. Things that are eternal value, and we can't muster up enough courage to talk about it. law sets boundaries. And I want you to know, God has set some boundaries. Some spiritual boundaries, moral boundaries, cultural boundaries. And when you get out of bounds, you lose. You hurt yourself. I don't care who you are. You hurt yourself. And you'll hurt those who follow you. You'll hurt your kids and your grandkids and on and on. They don't need that. You can't win. Get out of bounds. I like to watch a little playoffs in basketball. Oh, you do? Nobody's perfect. One old boy, man, he could get over to the line and shoot them three-pointers. But you know what? The rascal was, when they needed to work, he'd step out of line. What happened? He made it, but didn't count. He was out of bounds. You can't win. You can't win and be out of bounds. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 don't work, because we're not living in bounds. And that's why you can't take the scripture, all things work together for good of those who love God and those who are called according to purpose, because there are very, very few that love God that way and are called up according and living according to His purpose. And therefore, we try to claim scripture that we can't claim because we're out of bounds. You get a church in bounds and you'll have revival. Brother, it won't be closing its doors. I'm talking about liberty. Praise God for true peace. Jesus said to that closed doors, to those frightened disciples, "My peace I give unto you. Not like the world give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid." That's why Paul and Silas they weren't bound. You know who was bound? The old jailer was bound. They weren't bound there in the jail of Philippian jail, Philippi. They had all kinds of peace. The conditions may not have been were very good, but they had the peace of God, and they began to sing at midnight. Boy, God sent the earthquake angel down there and said, "Shake that place. Set them free physically." If you're set free spiritually, you'll never be bound physically. But I'll tell you what, Jesus came. I read it to set at liberty, to fulfill Isaiah 61. To release those who are bound. Set at liberty. I don't care what kind of circumstances you're in. Don't you let them bind you. Man, things are not so good around our house. Man, I'll tell you what, if He wanted to bring punishment to me, He'd just have me doing housework. Can you see me doing housework? You ought to take a picture of it, Imogene. I'd rather cut sprouts. Do housework. Pick up here, make the bed. A lot of other stuff worse than that. But you know what? You know what, one day, back in 1955, is that right? I stood in front of the altar at Old Fashioned Church. And they said, "Do you take this moment to be your wedded wife? To have and to hold and so forth?" I said, "I do." I didn't know that she'd have Parkinson's one day. But I said, "I do." We live in a day when some little something goes wrong with the mate, I hear it all the time. They're out of there. You know why? And most of them claim they're going to heaven. Hey, the devil wants to bind you. That's why if you're here and you may be a member of the church, but pretty well know you don't have the Spirit of God within you, and you don't have freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and there's freedom. You need to get up out of your seat, and the devil don't want you to, and you listen to him and hit an old-fashioned altar and cry out to God and said, I want the real thing. I want a newborn experience. Because my first birth, if that's all I got, man, I'm in trouble. I'm seed of Adam, and Adam all die. Brother, I need to be born again where I can, in Christ, be made alive and have the liberty that comes through being in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. God spoke to my heart this morning about this liberty business. I know what it is to be under the bondage of Satan. I know what it is to be a backslidden Christian. I wouldn't stand up here and tell you that I've had freedom and liberty all through these years. But I also know how it is to be set free. Don't you let Satan bound you and bind your tongue. You can't speak out for Jesus and testify of his greatness and wonder. Father, we're so glad that in you there's liberty and freedom. We're even glad for that narrow way that you spoke to us about, the old time way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but Father, we want it to be right with you. Lord, I despise that broad way, that deceiving people, and they're going to end up in destruction and being deceived by religious leaders. Lord, help me. Help me that I'll zero in on your great truths. Jesus, we know you're the way and you're the truth and you're the life. Father, there's a potency about you when we let you come into our heart and life through the Holy Spirit that we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. May your will be done in the invitation. Oh, that this people that has need, whatever their needs is, it may be, Lord, just need forgiveness and need healing, need whatever. Father, there's healing in you. We're to pray for those who suffer. You're able. You're able to save and heal. You come, Lord, to seek and save the lost. That's the worst ailment. May your will be done in the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.